Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities. Melissa Walls, Dr. Melissa Walls from the UMD campus, joins us this morning on the line to talk a little bit about a film called Dodging Bullets, and she's had quite an involvement in the film from its inception. We'll welcome her this morning. Hi, Melissa. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
So, Native American Heritage Month in November, and Dodging Bullets was screened on campus last week, a film that folks, it sounds like, should try to track down and see. You were involved in the making of this film from the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about why, first of all, and then what your involvement consisted of?
Sure. So this is a new documentary. It's actually not publicly released yet. It was a special showing here at UMD, and luckily we got a screen in the springtime at the film festival as well. But you're right. I was contacted pretty early in the making of the documentary. It was sort of a professor friend of a professor found her way to myself and to another professor who had been on campus here and said, hey, there's filmmakers doing a documentary about historical trauma, which is one of the areas of scholarship that my team is involved in. And they want to interview some experts in the field. And really, that's all I knew about it at that point. And so this was, oh my gosh, 5-6 years ago, they interviewed us down at ACO, which had just opened in downtown Duluth, the American Indian Housing Authority organization. And we hadn't heard anything for quite a few years. And then all of a sudden, I heard from the director, Bob Trench, and he said, hey, we're ready to release. And what they ended up with is a really beautiful work, beautiful cinematography, beautiful storytelling. And I was incredibly impressed to see where it landed.
We will ask you, obviously, when the general public might have an opportunity to see the documentary. As a Native person, obviously, you were impressed with its beauty. You knew something about it because you were obviously a part of it. Mm-hmm. As you sat in a group of Native folks watching the documentary, what was that like? How were people reacting?
Well, yeah, both times it's been groups of mixed company, so some Native folks, some non-Native folks, other, you know, people of color, and I do sort of watch the room. So twice I've been in screenings, and everything from just deep attention to what they're seeing to tears. The first screening, my grandmother, my mother, and my father, and my son, and my husband were all in the room and really kind of watching them. Some of it was pride, I think, on my grandma's part to see her granddaughter on screen, but very moving. You can't help but be moved when art comes into this kind of storytelling. And I made a joke after the first screening that, you know, I've spent the last 15 years writing extensively about this topic, and not one piece of writing could ever get the reaction that the film gets, because it just touches something else in people when you can see it in these stories.
One of the common reactions to the idea of historical trauma, the idea that things that happened decades or even 100 or longer ago can still be affecting people now in this day and age, is met with skepticism by a certain mm-hmm. group of people.
Yes.
Do you think that if they were to see this film, that they would suddenly get it, that having people explain it to them, again, perhaps, you know, just maybe words, having people try to explain it to them with words, that maybe the film could reach them in a way that the words haven't been able to?
I do think so. As I said, you know, I've written about this a lot. I lecture on this topic a lot. I'm married to a non-Native person, and talked to him about this a lot, and it wasn't until he saw the film that he said, I had a light bulb moment watching that about the sports mascots issue and how that can be harmful and how that is discriminatory. And he said it was just in that sequence that it hit me. And I was, first of all, like, well, why didn't you listen to me joking. But
well, of course, but you know that family never listens to family.
Exactly, yeah. So I saw this firsthand. The other thing is, what I like about the film is that it does lay out this fact that historical trauma does have historical roots, but the processes that are in place and the impacts are intergenerational and even contemporary. And so it's not a thing of the past, although it started in the past. It's really this collection of outcomes related to those historical processes.
And it's maybe a way of unpacking it a little bit and maybe laying out some of the specifics in a way that would be easier. Sometimes it feels like you open the topic up with somebody and you can just sort of see or feel them shut down. You know,
exactly.
They're not interested. They don't get it. They got over whatever happened to them, you know,
exactly.
in half an hour. And by golly, everybody else ought to be able to just pick up and move on.
Yeah. And, you know, those very issues are confronted head on in the film. Those topics are brought up. Those scapegoats, I guess, are discussed. And so you really get to watch. The other thing is there are survivors of boarding school, survivors of residential school abuse, survivors of relocation interviewed in the film. And so it's really hard to just, you know, I can stand before you and lecture on this topic and talk about what my great-grandfather experienced, what my uncles experienced, what I experienced, but I'm not a boarding school survivor. So to see them talk about what happened and what they lived through, it's hard for a person to deny consequences.
In addition, I think it really hits home, particularly where the boarding schools are concerned, that people were still in boarding schools in the 70s.
Right. Correct.
And that this is not something that, you know, was done away with at the turn of the century. This is something that people you know may have actually experienced, or
exactly.
older siblings or their parents. When are folks, do you know when folks are going to have the opportunity, perhaps to see the film and maybe invite some people that they know that might be skeptics to, you know, come and sit this evening and then I'll never mention it again. Just come and come to the movie with me tonight.
Yeah. So if you go to the website for the film, which is dodgingbullets.org, I think, but you can Google Dodging Bullets Film and you'll find it. Bob Trench, the director, lists all of the screenings, and he's still doing the documentary circuit, film festival circuits. He told me last we spoke, it might be another year before it's formally released, but there are requests for showings. That's exactly how, actually, I need to credit our Association of Native American Medical Students for screening it at UMB. He worked with them to get it to our campus. So you can look at trailers there, you can see the schedule, and you can get updates on when it will be released.
We'll get a link set up so it will be easy for folks to find that information.
Right.
Melissa, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, you're welcome. Stay warm.
Yes, you too.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Melissa Walls, our guest this morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. She was interviewed for the documentary about historical trauma called Dodging Bullets. And as I mentioned, we'll get a link set up so it will be easy for folks to find more information about that film and perhaps even request a showing. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.